a clear testimony of salvation and how salvation works. And right now he's in the midst of, in the first chapter and chapter 2 and 3, in the midst of really sharing that these people are unrighteous. The pagans are unrighteous. The moral man's unrighteous. The Jews are unrighteous. The whole world's unrighteous before God. You know, again, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so he's just sharing these things with them. And we looked at the pagan already. We looked at the moral man last week. We almost finished. We're down to verse 16. But through this, I mentioned that he, I think it was Pastor Corallo years ago when he was teaching this, he said, this is the nil class. And what he meant by that was, in verse 11 in chapter 2, Paul writes, for there is no respect of persons with God, the Jew or the Gentile or anybody else. Nobody has respect of person, or he doesn't respect the person, if you will. He says in verse 12, for as many as have sinned without the law shall perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Now, that's what he meant by a nil class. And the fact is that nobody can be a doer of the law. Nobody can keep the law. And again, Paul is going to make that argument, and he is making that argument now. He's trying to help us to understand it's not just the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. It says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves, which show the work of their law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In other words, they have a conscience, and they can know right from wrong. And every man is given this conscience to do that. Once you start learning and growing, you know in your heart if things that are right and wrong, what sin can be. And in verse 16, where we left off, he says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Again, there's going to come a time when everybody's going to be judged, and God knows the secrets of our heart. He knows who we are. We're going to be judged, number one, by what we did with Jesus Christ, by the gospel of Jesus, whether we accepted him or not. And again, that's a personal relationship. God knows that. I don't know that for anybody else but myself. 100% sure, as far as I can know, based on my relationship. And it's the same way with every person. They know if they have that relationship, and of course, God knows. And one day there'll be that judgment. Everything, the secret things, and there'll be nothing that will be hid. And of course, Jesus is going to be that judge. And John 5:22 says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Jesus Christ is going to be that judge. We're going to stand before him. And of course, there will be a time when that happens, and men are going to be judged in the light of creation, as he talks about in chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Men will be judged by God's word. John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So it would be based on, our judgment would be based on the word of God as well. And of course, as he mentioned, based on the gospel. And everybody has to make a decision. Everybody is given the opportunity to make a decision. Now, we do have a responsibility in that we who have the gospel are left here to be able to propagate that gospel, to share it with others. And that's our responsibility, is to live it, to share it, that others may see and have that same opportunity to put their faith and trust in Christ. And so God has given that to us when we put our faith and trust in him. And that's something that we continue to learn, continue to grow in, and we try to share that every man will have the opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. There are a lot of folks today, we know, as Brother Fielder Ken is trying to get the word of God out to all these nations, the 10-20 window, they say. Is it 10-20 or 10-40? 10-40. But there's a lot of people who don't have the word of God, and those people need to hear. And God has given those people who can understand languages, can translate those, that responsibility, so they can get the word in their hand. And then he's called preachers and teachers and everybody who's saved to be able to share that as well. So again, we see that number one, the pagan man is unrighteous. the moral man, as good as he thinks he is unrighteous. And that's where we are in America and probably the world too. Everybody has that initial concept, and maybe that's partly to do with our conscience, but we have that concept in ourselves that we think we can earn our way to heaven if we can just be good enough. And that's where the Word of God comes in, as we study the Word of God and have the knowledge and understanding of it. We can apply the wisdom of it and understand that we are all sinners, all lost, have no hope, and Christ died for us. And so then he turns from this moral man, which could be a Gentile, could be a Jew, either or. God is not a respecter of persons, he says. But then he turns specifically to the Jew. The Jew had a special opportunity. Being God's chosen people, of course, we know how that happened. But they had a special opportunity. He's going to share that. Let's just begin reading verse 17. We're going to read down verse 29. And this is chapter 2 of Romans. He says, he writes, "Behold, thou art a Jew, are called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself are a guide to the blind, a light to them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if this uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and we thank you for Paul as he's penning this letter to these folks in Rome. And again, the things that you have shared with him, and as you have guided him, we know the Bible teaches us holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and it wasn't the will of man that did this. And Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you for sending the Comforter, that is the Holy Ghost, to bring to remembrance all these things to those who had the opportunity to walk with you and to live their life and to see you in person, and how you continue to bless them and guide them and direct them in the very things that we have today. Father, I pray that as we look at these things that we're mindful that this is the Word of God and that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And Father, I pray you continue to help us to look to that and to trust you in that. And we'll thank you for what you do in our lives, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. So here he's called a Jew. He starts off and he's talking about the Jewish folks. And again, there's six distinctives. Of course, Paul, he bore the name of a Jew. He was one. He was a Pharisee, of course. And this is, of course, a reference to the nationality and citizenship in a nation that belongs to God. And, of course, they were proud of that. And it would be easy to be proud of that, would it not? There are Christians sometimes who are proud in the way that I'm better than you type thing. And that's easy to get in that situation and think that way, but we are not. We're all sinners. And it's only thing that makes a difference is that our eyes were opened. We received Jesus Christ as our Savior. And God is doing a work in our lives and trying to continue to strengthen us through that. But he says, rest is in the law. So these people rested in the law. They relied on it. They had the Old Testament law, and they knew what it was, and they could go to it. They knew the interpretations. They knew what this law was to teach them, and there were a lot of laws. There's so many laws. There's 649, I believe it is, or whatever. And if you go through and if you've been reading your Bible through the Old Testament, you see all those laws that God impressed upon the Israelites. Things that he expected them to do. And when they didn't do it, there was punishment. I mean, it got so bad that just murmuring, I'm glad God is not doing that today. I'd be in trouble. But just murmuring, you see time and time again, they are found in sin. And, of course, God deals with that. But these folks, they have the law. They rest us in it. They boast about it. It says, and make us thy boast of God. They're bragging. And that's what it means, is they're bragging about the fact that they're the Jews. They serve the God, the living God. And they flaunt it, of course, in the face of the Gentiles, which they treated as dogs and really thought them as such. And he tells us in verse 18, he says, and knowest his will. Now, how do they knowest his will? The same way we know his will. They had the law. Just like we have the word of God. That's how we know God's will. It's not something we pull out of the air. It's not something we guess at. God lays it on our heart and gives us the direction. He gives us the desires of our heart because our desires will be the same desires that he has for us. But they had it. They knew his will. He told them, he says, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. And so they approved those things that are essential. It was a testing or proving, if you will, of the moral and ethical behavior. This is what they were doing. They were instructed out of the law. The Jews went to the synagogue school and learned the scriptures and were taught the doctrines of the Word of God. God told them in Deuteronomy chapter 6 to teach their children diligently these things and the importance of it. And, of course, they did. They were God's chosen people. We know that in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and thee and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And of course, we know that if you study Abram's life, that here was a man that believed God, and through that it was counted to him for righteousness. It's the same today for us, that if we believe God, it is counted to us for righteousness. Verse 17 of chapter 1 reminds us, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And for us today, that faith begins in believing in God's plan for salvation. Deuteronomy chapter 7, 6 through 8, you can go back and look at that. That reminds us that they were chosen because of Abraham. I'll just share it. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. In other words, they weren't the greatest nation. They didn't have the most people. And that's what God does. He chooses that which is weak and that which is foolish. And he goes on and says, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because, and this is the reason they were chosen, the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out of the mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of Bondman from the hand of Pharaoh and king of Egypt. Because he loved them, and he had sworn to their fathers. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Today, if we believe God, it'll be counted to us for righteousness. Now we have to go to the plan, the exact plan, because it's clear. We were sharing in Master's Club today. I says, you know, you study the Word of God and you find out, how many ways are there to get to heaven? And of course, the young boys, all three, said, one. And I said, you're right. That's right. It's a specific plan. And there's only one way. And there's a lot of people that try to figure out something else. So Paul is speaking here to the Jews. He's talking directly to them. These are folks who have the law, know the law, been instructed out of the law. In verse 19 he says, and art confident that thou thyself are a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. And so he's saying, you have the advantage of the law. And so here you are, you know what the Word of God says, you know His will, and here we are, you have this, you provest, or you're continually testing, to, and it says to bear a part is that more excellent, because they had insight in this instruction they had that they could guide other people. So they, in their minds, with what they had and the knowledge they had, they thought that they were the ones who could show everybody else the way. Okay? That's why there's such a schism, if you will. When the Jews were getting saved, they had a hard time with the circumcision thing. And that's what he's going to share as we get down there. Why? Because that was God's covenant to God's covenant people, to the Jews. If a stranger came and was a proselyte of the Jews, he was to be circumcised as well. That's the way that worked. And so in their mind and their heart, that is a must. That is a something you have to do. But see, Jesus took care of that when he died on the cross. And so they're trying to force anybody and everybody else that this is something that they have to do. By keeping this law, they felt righteous. And because of this, they missed the whole concept of what Jesus Christ came for. They were blind to the fact that he came and he died on that cross. They were very religious people. Sharing with somebody yesterday, and we were talking about it. It says, when Jesus spoke on this earth, he came to people. He healed them. He was kind, compassionate. The Bible says he was moved with compassion upon them. And he said, pray for laborers to go out in the harvest, because he wanted people to go out and to share the things that he was there for, and that is to seek and save that which is lost. But he had that compassion. But whenever he spoke to these folks, the religious crowd, he was harsh. He was pointed. Why? Because they had the Word of God. And yet they were blind to what Jesus Christ had come to do, and they could not see him. Yes, they were religious, but they had no relationship. And that's what they were missing. In verse 20, he goes on and says, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of truth in the law. He says, so you guys are trying to teach the blind. You're trying to help these foolish folks, these babes, and you're trying to guide and direct them through this law that you have and through these teachings you have. You're trying to make them like you, in a sense. And basically, they were a guide, or trying to be a guide to the blind. In the Old Testament, it was often the Gentile that was assumed to be blind to the things of God. And these very folks are falling in this very same trap and have for generations. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 15, he shared, he said to the Pharisees, he says, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And he's talking about the Pharisees. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. And this is where they were. And of course, Paul, he understood this. He being one of those, actually living it, having that experience as a Pharisee himself, whenever the Christians came along and in his heart and mind, they're blaspheming God. And so he knows the law and he wants to follow the law. And one of the things is if you blaspheme God, that's a death sentence or a prison sentence at least. In his heart and his soul, he wanted to serve God. And so as he's writing these things, we get this not just from somebody who's outside looking in. We get this from somebody who is in this situation or has been and understands it really clear. And he's coming from the heart. It's a testimony, if you will. And he's sharing his testimony through these things that he has done in his life, so he knows what he's talking about. If I was to write this, of course, I believe in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but it would carry a lot more validity if I knew what I was talking about. I mean, I've been in that situation. That's why personal testimonies are so good. Because when you give a personal testimony and you use the Word of God, you have something. It's something that nobody can take away from you. That's yours. Now, if you give a testimony and you don't know the Bible, it might be a little bit loose on there. You might, well, you need to trust Christ because He saved me and look at my life. Is that going to be strong enough? What did he do? How did it happen? Now, when you got saved and when I got saved, I didn't understand all that. That's why as we get the knowledge of the Word of God and start learning about who we really were and what happened when we put our faith and trust in Christ, then our eyes get opened and our testimony gets stronger and stronger because it's an experience we've experienced and we know what the Word of God says and we can go back and relate to that in the true sense. Paul is sharing these things. He's saying these guys, just like I was, were blind, trying to teach everybody else and tell everybody else what to do. They were the instructor of the foolish. Of course, the foolish means ignorant or unwise. And they were there trying to correct them and to teach them. And he said, teachers of babes. What's that about? That's trying to take someone who doesn't understand a lot of things and bring them into a mature stage, if you will. And then verse 21, he turns it around a little bit. And so he's talking about this law. He's talking about this law that they knew. What was the purpose of the law? Before we get to verse 21, do you remember? Say it again, Kirk. Absolutely. Turn to Galatians for a second. Okay. Galatians chapter 3. In verse 18, of course, Paul's writing, and this is, these folks are struggling in this whole situation. The Judaizers came in. They told them they need to be circumcised, and they're fighting this. Paul is fighting this with them, trying to get them to understand that's something you don't have to do. And yet, they are struggling with this because they've been taught otherwise by people who have more than likely been saved, but still hanging on to the law, the Jewish folks. And in verse 18 of chapter 3, he says, "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." So he's talking about this inheritance, and he's talking about if it be of the law, it's no more promise. And then he goes down and he says, "But God gave it to Abraham by promise." What did God give to Abraham by promise? That you think, we'll see it maybe more clear as we go, but that promise, what was the most important thing about that promise? Relationship. What about the seed? If we think about the promise, and that promise is the seed, it's Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is trying to relate this to, is the fact that that promise that was given to Abraham is that seed, Jesus Christ. He says in verse 19, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made." See, if I'd read it down, you'd have got it right off. But whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator, but one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Of course, he says, God forbid. Now, the mediator at that time was Moses. Moses was that mediator that was given the law. But Abraham is given the promise. The law doesn't save us. The law just reveals to us some things. And we're going to see that here. So as we think about this law, what it's doing to us, it's first off for Israel, it's helping Israel to keep a lid on their sin. Because they knew this is what God said, so they at least had that before them, so they would at least think about that. Just like the Word of God does for us. When we read the Word of God and study it and memorize things, not that we memorize, we're perfect or anything, but we know there are things that God's not pleased with, so that kind of helps us or keeps us. Of course, we have the Spirit of God living in us, which is a whole different situation. But it was helping them to keep the lid on their sin. And of course, the seed was promised to Abraham, and that promise to Abraham is Jesus Christ. So here he goes on, he talks about that, and verse 21 says, again, I mentioned this already, but is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. And all he's saying is that the law was given, Moses was that mediator who had the law. That law could not give them life. And it could not give them righteousness because they were, just like everybody is, in that nil class when they're lost. Because you can't have righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. There is no way. Or apart from God. And I say that in the sense that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed what he knew at the time. Just like today, we can't just say, oh, I know there's a God up there, because the Bible teaches us the devils believe in God and tremble. No, it's we have to believe in Jesus Christ. Specifically. In verse 22, he says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. I am so glad that it's by faith and not by works. You know, if you had to get saved by works, I'm wondering who's got the chart, you know, or the list that says you've done enough. I'm just wondering who holds that. It must be God if that's the way it works, but I'm glad it doesn't work that way, because you can never know if you've done enough. And when Jesus said it is finished, enough was done. And so all we have to do is understand that plan and by faith receive Christ as our Savior. And so that's what the Jew was struggling with. The Jew didn't see this. Jew didn't understand this. And so it really, the law was to demonstrate their sinfulness. The law was to display the righteousness of God. It pointed these folks to Jesus Christ. It points us to Jesus Christ. Go ahead and back to, turn back to Romans if you would. So he's asking these pertinent questions in beginning verse 21. He said, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself. In other words, you're teaching other people, but are you learning? Are you finding out what the Scripture says? Are you doing what you're telling everybody else to do, in a sense? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? And again, the Jews had some things going on with their law where they actually were stealing money, in a sense, from their parishioners or the Jewish people, if you would. And so Paul is just relating this to him and trying to open the eyes, and he's helping the church at Rome here, because I'm sure they had a multitude of different people in their church as well. Everywhere Paul went, the Judaizers followed, and every church probably back then, they had people who wanted to serve God, but they had mixed multitudes of people. Remember, they lived in a wicked time like we do today. And so he's just trying to help them to see and understand this is the Jew, and he's trying to help them see, you are not righteous. He's trying to prick their heart through the Word of God. He says, thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? In other words, they had the law, and yet they didn't follow the law. They weren't honoring God. And look what he says here. Then he goes and talks about their testimony. He says, for the name of God, verse 24, is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. He's saying, the way you're living, the way you're behaving, you are really blaspheming God, because you're not doing or practicing what you preach. You're not living as though you are a follower of God. And of course, what they hinged on most was that circumcision. He says in verse 25, for circumcision verily profiteth it. He's saying it's good. He's speaking to the Jew here. If thou keep the law. In other words, you're surrendered to God. You're following God. That's a good thing. Again, nobody can do that. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Just because you've been circumcised, you kept that covenant, if you're breaking the law in any other area, you're guilty of all, James tells us. And that's what he's relaying to these folks. And why is he doing this? Again, he's trying to help these folks to see, because he's going to point everybody to Christ. That's what he's doing here in this letter. He's trying to point people to Christ, but he's showing them first the things that reveal who they are. You know, it's always, I don't remember who it was, Joel or somebody, Osteen said, "Oh, I never preach about sin or any of that stuff. I just want to preach positive things, you know. God wants you to have more. God wants you to be happy." You know what? If you're happy, God's happy. Did you know that? His wife said that in one of her sermons. And I'm thinking, really? But that's why he's trying to help them, is you have to get lost before you can ever get saved. You have to know that there's things in your life that God's not pleased with before you can ever change your life. That's what the Word of God does when, you know, we know that it's given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine, right? Teachings. It's profitable for reproof or rebuke. It's profitable for correction. Shows us what's wrong and then instruction, how to do it right. And that's what the Word of God will do in each one of our lives. And that's what Paul is trying to encourage them. And he goes on and says, "And shall not the uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh." He says, "But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." And so he brings it all home, and he's talking about this circumcision. He's talking about not of the flesh, but of the heart. Circumcision of the heart, surrendering the heart to God, allowing Him to be the one who leads and guides. Yes, you got the law, but the law proves that you can't keep it and you're a sinner. And so He's going to try to continue on and bring them in to this point where they understand that it's all about Jesus. That's what we all have to come to, is that point, is it not? And at some point we did. We understood that there was nothing I could do about it, nothing I could earn my way to heaven. It took me a long time to understand that. It took me longer to understand I was lost. Because it wasn't the doing, it wasn't the prayer, it wasn't the baptism. It was a relationship. And that's powerful. It's powerful today, for sure. Well, let's go ahead and close. We'll stop here. But, you know, God is so good to us. He's good to me, I know. And He just, even when I'm reading the Word of God and I get the rebuke, you know, I don't like it. I don't say in my heart many times, "Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, this is going to be so good." But you know, it takes a while to learn this. And there are many times that you go and say, "Oh, I even reject it," or "You don't even want to do it. No, I'm not going to do that." And then later, you come back to it again, because sometimes if you don't learn the lesson, you'll go through it again. And then you'll see it and you go, "Thank you, Lord, I needed that." Because it does make a difference. And God is good that way. He doesn't give up. He continues with that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for Paul. And we thank You for giving him these words that we can have them. And Father, I pray You just continue to bless each one here. I thank You for them. I thank You for how You continue to meet their needs and how You strengthen them. And I pray that You just give them a good week the rest of this week. Bring them back Sunday, Father, and help us all to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.